the feeding of the 5,000. I hope you're getting the message today. When we face difficult circumstances, when we face things that seem impossible, that we can turn to God, because He is the one who is the provider of all that we need. And so we need to know, even just from the story, I was responding at the wrong times there. I heard a story of a man who was selling a horse, decided he's going to sell a horse, so he was talking to a prospective buyer, and the man was saying, look, when you buy the horse, you need to know two things. You need to know how to make the horse go, and you need to know how to make the horse stop. And so he says, okay, so how does that go? He says, well, to make the horse go, you say, praise the Lord. Praise the Lord, and the horse will move. Oh, that's fine. That's easy enough. How do you make it stop? Well, you say, amen. And the horse will suddenly stop. So the man says, that sounds good. So he bought the horse, got on top of the horse, and said, praise the Lord. And off the horse took, bolting down the street. It startled the man so much that he began to say, whoa, whoa, whoa. And as a cliff was appearing in front of him, he was panicking. And then he remembered that to get the horse to stop, you say, amen. And as he cried out, amen, the horse stopped right at the edge of the cliff. And the man was like, whoa, praise the Lord. And off he went. I just threw that in case the sermon was boring. At least you would have a laugh this morning there. So this morning, know when to say amen and when to say praise the Lord. The feeding of the 5,000. We're speaking about breakthrough faith. Faith. We can't please God without faith. Faith is being sure of what we hope for and certain of what we can't see. And you know, for many of us in our lives, I believe we have in our lives a ceiling, a glass ceiling over our lives. Do you know the times when we want to do something and we just think, this is impossible. I can't do this. There's problems come and we think there is no way through. Maybe even as you're praying, you're thinking, goodness me, God, are you actually hearing my prayers? And you know, God wants us to live our lives in faith, but He also wants to live us to live our lives with seeing breakthrough come in many of our situations. Even today, how many of us have had a breakthrough in their life over the years? Yeah, breakthrough. There is a time when we will see that breakthrough. But the enemy of our soul wants to keep us restricted. He wants to keep us confined. He wants to prevent us seeing and stepping into all that God would have for us today. And that is many areas: healing, provision of finances, health, everything. Jesus came that we would have life, and life in all its fullness. Many people mistake that for being a life that is problem-free. Anyone here with a life that's problem-free? If there is, I want to get to know you. None of us are going to go through life problem-free. Things do come against our life. Things that God asks us to do that we look and we think, that's scary. That is scary. Over my life, as I grew up in my Christian life, there was an invisible ceiling. There was things I said, I can't do that. I can't do that. I can't do that. But it came a point in my life where I had to trust God and take a step of faith. And you know, as I did that, I broke through some of the ceilings over my life. And I want to encourage you that you can do that as well. And face your fear and do it anyway. It would be great if we could just say, God, take away the fear. God, take away the fear. And suddenly fear went. And we just suddenly became courageous. But the way that we overcome fear is stepping through the fear, the thing that fears us or that we fear most. And we talked last week about Pentecost, encountering the power of the Holy Spirit. God has given us everything that we need to live our lives for Him. It would be very sad if Jesus had said, by the way, I'm off, so you're on your own, but I need you still to live the way you live your life. I need you still to overcome sin and temptation, but I'm not going to be there. I'm going to my Father. Impossible. But Jesus says, I will send someone, the Comforter, the Holy Spirit, who is God. He is a third member of the Trinity. He is God. And He is in us. If you're a believer here today, the Holy Spirit dwells in you today. The same Spirit that raised Jesus from the dead is living in you. And so we need more encounters of the Holy Spirit. So today, the feeding of the 5,000. There, if the 5,000 story was being told today, I think the next photograph there, yeah, that one, if it had been today, we'd be saying, are there nuts in those loaves? Is it gluten-free? Vegan options? Lactose intolerant? My wife would be saying, is there bones in that fish there? The feeding of the 5,000, the best known, I remember that story from Sunday school. Famous story. The only story, apart from the resurrection of Jesus, that appears in all four Gospels. The feeding of the 5,000 is in all four Gospels. And we're going to be reading from the Gospel of John today. John had a particular agenda when he was writing the Gospel of John. He wanted his hearers, his readers, to get something. And so he was intentional about what he had written. Just read before I read the scripture. In John chapter 20, verse 31, it says, "But these are written so that you may believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that by believing you may have life in His name." John wants you to believe that Jesus is the Son of God, that He is the Christ, the Son of God. And so if you have a Bible, we're going to turn to John chapter 6. Chapter 6, reading from verse 1. After this, Jesus crossed over to the far side of the Sea of Galilee, also known as the Sea of Tiberias. A huge crowd kept following him wherever he went because they saw his miraculous signs. So say miraculous signs with me. Say it. Miraculous signs as he healed the sick. Then Jesus climbed a hill and sat down with his disciples around him. It was nearly time for the Jewish Passover celebration. Jesus soon saw a huge crowd of people coming to look for him. Turning to Philip, he asked, "Where can we buy bread to feed all these people?" And he was testing Philip, for he already knew what he was going to do. Philip replied, "Even if we worked for months, we wouldn't have enough money to feed them." Then Andrew, Peter's brother, spoke up. "There's a young boy here with 5 barley loaves and 2 fish, but what good is that with a huge crowd?" "Tell everyone to sit down," Jesus said. So they all sat down on the grassy slopes, and the men alone numbered 5,000. Then Jesus took the loaves, gave thanks to God, and distributed them to the people. Afterwards, he did the same with the fish, and they all ate as much as they wanted. And after everyone was full, Jesus told his disciples, "Now gather the leftovers so that nothing is wasted." And so they picked up the pieces and filled 12 baskets with scraps left by the people who had eaten from the 5 barley loaves. And when the people saw him do this miraculous sign, they exclaimed, "Surely he is the prophet we have been expecting." And when Jesus saw that they were ready to force him to be their king, he slipped away into the hills by himself. Here we have John's perspective. John wants you to believe that Jesus is the Son of God, that he is great, that he is someone who wants to bless our lives. Jesus wants to bless our lives. Jesus wants to bless our life. Jesus wants to work miracles, and Jesus wants us, as his followers, to work the same miracles as he did. That is good news. That is good news, because that tells me that God still heals today. God still heals today. And I believe that we are going to see more and more, more in the marketplace, God's healing come. Because that is where we need to be using the miracles or the gifts that God has for us. God can do exceedingly more than we could ever ask or imagine. I think we need to raise the level of our thinking and our expectation. We need to. Because it's not in our power. It is in his power. According to the power that works in us. So, Jesus is trying to get the disciples alone. Jesus has heard that John the Baptist has been killed. Jesus had sent his disciples out on mission. They were out praying for the sick, and they were coming back. And Jesus said, oh, I'll get great time. I'll spend listening to the stories from the disciples. Also trying to just think about the death of John the Baptist. And so trying to get away. But the people kept following him. And Jesus, it says, showed compassion on the people. Do you know, for me, I would be like, this is me time. This is not they time. But you know, Jesus shows us that, you know, serving him, serving people is not always convenient. And I believe that there needs to come an inconvenience to our lives as God would ask us to step out and show compassion to people. I'll just throw that in. John chapter 6, verse 26, it says, as the people followed Jesus again, it says, you want to be with me because I fed you, not because you understood the miraculous signs. Don't be so concerned about perishable food or perishable things like food. Spend your energy seeking eternal life that the Son of Man can give you. Do you know, and it just really struck me. Understood the miraculous signs. Do you know, we pray for signs and wonders. I want to see healings come. I want to see things happening. I want to see the power of the Holy Spirit. But I believe that God allows signs to come to our life. Yesterday, as Annette and I were doing a bit of decluttering some of the stuff in the house, we came across just some cards that people had given us when we came to Dundee in 2017. Nearly 7.5 years ago, nearly. And you know, we read some of those, the prophecies, the words of encouragement, things that we were to expect to see. And you know, as I look back on these words, I actually remember some of the things that had happened, the signs. And some I noticed, but I was thinking, God, I have missed a lot of signs. And I believe we have to understand the signs that come into our life. Do you know, you may be seeking God. You may be wondering, is God actually real? Do you know, and suddenly you come across a Christian. I believe that's a sign. That is a sign. Signs point to somewhere. Signs point to somewhere. Signs actually warn. And I came across some signs there. Can you put the first sign up? Lola, some unusual signs there that is across the world. We've never seen this one, drunk people crossing. Some weird and wonderful signs that are across. Next one, Lola. There, anyone read German?
Yes.
Yeah, what does that say?
Achtung, spielen die Kinder, bitte abholen.
Thank you. I was just hoping they would say something like that. children playing. I don't know what they are jumping off, but there is children playing there. Next one. caution, giant snails crossing. Imagine a car coming up and that crossing. This sign actually was from New Zealand. I didn't know they had giant snail crossings in New Zealand, Alison. They don't. You need to get out a bit more. Okay, next one. This one. Beware of flying bicycles.
No.
That actually is saying cycles crossing. People crossing with their cycles. But that looks to me he's flying there. Okay, next one. This one. Beware of fallen cows there. That sign is actually beware of erosion. Well, of course it does, because that cow's eating the grass on this hill and suddenly there's erosion and off that cow falls right onto your car there. So beware of erosion there. And the last one, I think you may get, sign not in use. We need to understand the signs. There is some weird signs out there. So back to the story there. Huge crowd. Jesus, the disciples see the crowd. Jesus knows what he is going to do. He's wanted to test Philip. He's wanted to see what is in them. Is there faith in them? And so he says, what can we do? Where can we buy bread to feed all these people? Again, Jesus, the bread of life, is there asking, where are we going to get the bread to feed the people? And the bread there, Jesus, that's what he says, I am the bread of life. People are needing to be fed. And that's the truth. We all need food. We all need to be fed. Food for the body, food for the spirit. The sad thing is that for many of us, we crave more food for the body than the spirit. If only we could crave food for the spirit even more, craving the word of God, drinking in the spirit of God. But we are so caught up with just our needs and the craving. Yes, we need to eat. I love eating. I'm looking forward to this after the service when we open those packed lunches and I walk round and just see what you've got and ask if you want to swap there. The truth is, without God, men and women, you and I are spiritually hungry. We are spiritually hungry and in desperate need of the life that only Jesus Christ can give us, that bread, that sustainer of life. And my question is, who do you want or who are you going to allow to feed you? Are you going to allow our world to feed you, the media to feed you, Facebook and the news? Are you going to allow them to feed you, or are you going to allow God to feed you through his word? And believe the promises and the truth of God's word. So when the time comes and you are fearful, you can know that Jesus is with you. That God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of love, power, and a sound mind. The rabbis, they would teach that the Messiah would come and duplicate the miracles of Moses. Jesus, the bread of life. You may be thinking about the manna that fell when Moses was with the people there, and they were saying, what are we going to eat, Moses? Complaining and moaning. And Moses is probably thinking, how on earth are we going to feed these people? And he's crying out to God. And God tells him that manna from heaven was going to come, and that they were to get out and pick up the manna and eat for that day only. That day only. That reminds me of this day, our daily bread. Be concerned about this day. Don't be concerned about tomorrow. And again, it just shows humanity. Because when the times came, it says, don't go out tomorrow, take enough for 2 days before the Sabbath came. But sure enough, there was people out looking for it and it wasn't there. Just wanting more of this. breathe. Jesus is the manna from heaven, bread of heaven, bread of heaven. And the problem is, where will they get provision to feed 5,000 men and women and children? Where are they going to get this provision? Jesus knew what he was going to do. Do you know, problems in their life, anyone ever face any problems? Anyone ever face problems? I have. But I've spotted the ones that don't have any problems. Do you know, problems have the potential to push you forward in your faith or set you back in your faith. Problems, when they come, you could decide to run the other way, or you could decide that you're going to trust God and face the problems. Their potentials or problems have the potential to keep you confined, keep you restricted in your life. And here we have Jesus as he's asking, when are we going to get the food to feed the people? Problem. Houston, we have a problem. We've run out of food. We have 5 loaves and 2 fish. And Jesus is waiting to see who's going to come up with a solution. Good old Andrew, he's out there talking to people there. And he finds a boy with his lunch, 5 loaves and 2 fish, 5 small barley loaves. It wasn't 5 big loaves there. And he has, we've got this, but what good is this? For all these people. And you know, in these stories, as you look all through the Gospels, you will see sometimes the things that we do when we face some difficult stuff. Let's get rid of the problem. God, take the problem away. God, I can't face this. Let's send the people away. Let's send them away. They've been there listening to Jesus. They've been there a long time. It's getting late. Probably Tesco's is too far away. But they're saying, well, let's just get rid of the problem. Not our problem, their problem. They should have brought their own lunch. But Jesus has compassion on them. He's saying, no, we're not sending them away. They also look at the lack. Even if we worked 8 months, nearly a year, we still wouldn't have enough. And so again, the resources, we look at our own resources. God, I don't have enough. God, I don't have enough strength. God, I don't have enough peace. God, I just don't have enough finances. And we look at our situation, what we don't have, and really we should look at who we do have. We have Jesus. And yes, we also have the family of God. Because when we pray, and I have seen many people had provision, financial provision, and you know, it didn't fall from heaven. It didn't fall from heaven. It came through you and I, that the people of God. Because God moves hearts. We can focus on our weakness. I can't fix this. Look at the cost. It's going to cost me. Nearly 8 months' wages. If we're going to feed them, Jesus, this is going to take a lot of money. Again, for our lives, we look at the cost. And Jesus is saying, and he sees that through the Gospels, that when you give your life to him, when you want to be a follower of him, think about the cost. I would say dare to be a Christian, because it's certainly not easy being a Christian. It will cost you. But let me tell you, the benefits are worth more. The blessing of God on our lives. So, what's some of the other lessons that we have before we get ready to close? You know, you may look at your own life and think, I have a little. Give God the little. What do you have? What do you have? Put it into the hands of Jesus, and we do that through prayer. God, I only have little strength. I don't know how long I am going to hold out, but Jesus, I give you my life. This morning, we talked about surrender. Some of us need to surrender some of the things that are in our life that are weighing on us and give them to Jesus. Give them to Jesus. Miracles happen when we place them into the hands of Jesus. Don't hold on to the little that you have. That was somewhere where I was. Grown up, coming through debts and poverty, as I grew up, I grew up with a fear of lack. And so every bit of money I would hold so tight. Do you know, if I dropped a pound, I would probably catch it before it hit the ground. I would hold on to it so tight because there was a fear of lack. But as I began to trust in God, as God worked in my heart, my fingers began to open. And I started just to become just that releasing and giving all that I had to Jesus. What is Jesus asking you to give? What do you have? Come on, why don't you ask your neighbor, what do you have? What do you have? Come on, waken them up. Give someone a dunk. Waken them up. What do you have? Turn to the person on the other side. Say, you need to give it to Jesus. Their contribution, as small as it was, was part of the solution. And for us, as you look at your life, you may look at your life and think, what have I got to give? What have I got to give? I don't have anything. Maybe you're saying, I don't know enough. I'm not strong enough. I don't have enough. But give what you have to Jesus. What do you have? You have your life, your breath, your voice, your hands, your feet. We can give them our lives. Jesus, I just give you what I've got. In the hands of God is where the miracles take place. And I want to say, don't be overwhelmed by the huge need. Don't be overwhelmed by the huge need. Yes, we have people who are facing some tough stuff. And it can be overwhelming. But when we fix our eyes on Jesus, I believe he will give us the peace that we need. He will give us the strength that we need. He will be the sustainer of our lives. When you feel that everything has been swept away, he is the one that will hold you and keep you with his strong and righteous hand because he loves you. He loves you. Start with what you have. Give what you have to Jesus. Obey what he tells you to. You know, as Jesus said to the disciples, okay, as he prayed for the food and then gave the disciples it to distribute, I'm thinking 5 loaves, 2 fish, did the 12 of them have a bit each? Or what was happening? What was happening as they were walking towards the people thinking, this is never going to go. This is never going to happen. And seeing the crowd, 5 loaves and 2 fish, but as they started distributing, as they started giving out, there was a multiplication happening. And I would love to have seen their faces as they saw, where is this coming from? Where is this coming from? Jesus, it was put in the hands of Jesus. And, you know, thank him for the provision. And I want to encourage you, you know, even if you are praying and you are not seeing an answer to prayer, I want to encourage you to thank God for the answer. To thank God for the provision, even when it's not there yet, but to thank him. Faith is being sure of what we hope for and certain of what we cannot see. Faith. Thank God. Thank God for the provision before you even see it or taste it. Because God is the God who provides. And breakthrough faith is having faith in God's provision. Andrew mentioned, it's where we put our faith. We don't put faith in our faith, as he said. We put our faith in Jesus Christ because he is the one. The faith is the means of bringing that blessing, bringing that answer to our lives.